Shall we get it? I'ma get it. Shall we get it?
In love, when I die, I swear it's never enough. I'm a stop. Maybe this thing hit.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Game Time Radio here on Hawk Radio. Today, we've got some fun stuff to talk to you guys about with the NBA playoffs happening. We'll probably get into some MLB as well.
Yeah, and I got some Champions League as well.
Perfect. Awesome. But for right now, we're going to start off with a small music break. We'll be right back.
My Twitter picture, mine and my Naomi. Oh, when the low, I used to holler at his homie. Oh, now I'm about to ride him like a pony. Yeah, okay. Thug Polly, yo, come Polly. He wanna bad dolly and pop. I hope your pockets got a that I'm pot Bali. Or is it that you never bow? John Sally, he had the rose in the voice, the tone in his voice. Don't want a good girl, nah. This is choice. On H, on W, mouth on open. On my bio. On a cover top, L magazine, vroom, 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 get gasoline. Could I be your wife? Nah, we got though, I got these whipped. Call me the Django.
Stories that I can't explain. I leave my heart open, but it stays right here empty for days. She told me in the morning she don't feel the same about us in her bones. Seems to me that when I die, these words will be written on my stone. And I'll be gone, gone tonight. The ground beneath my feet is open wide. The way that I've been holding on too tight, with nothing in between. The story of my life, I take her home. Stays right here in its cage. And I'll be gone, gone tonight. Fire beneath my feet is burning bright. The way that I've been holding on so tight, with nothing in between.
like chasing the clouds. The story of my life, I take her home. I drive all night to keep her warm, and time is frozen. The story of my life, I give her all. I spend her love until she's broke inside. The story of my life, the story of my life, the story of my life, the story of my life.
On the other side of the street I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one night was more than just right. I didn't leave you, cause I was all through. Oh, I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. Upside to a downward spiral, my love for you went viral, and I loved you every mile you drove away. But now here you are again, so let's skip to how you've been and get down to the more than friends at last. Oh, but that one night is still the highlight. I didn't need you until I came to, and I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. Street I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause
oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. This is not a drive-by, just a shy guy looking for a two-ply. Hefty bag of home, I love. When you move me, everything is groovy. They don't like it, so
welcome back, guys. I'm going to get into some NBA playoffs, and really we're going to be talking about the Orlando Magic mostly today. As a lifelong Orlando Magic fan, having grown up in the area, it is very exciting that we're back in the playoffs, and it seems like we're going to be there consistently for at least the next couple of years. But our performances in the first two games against Cleveland are worrying. And in the first game, in the first half of the first game, we shot two of 18 from three. Now, I don't know if they were trying to set a record for worst three-point shooting performance in a playoff game, but it's certainly what it felt like. And so going into the second game, I assumed, oh, well, we just won't take as many threes because we know that that's not what we're good at. But boy, was I wrong. Our first six shots of the game were for three, and believe it or not, we missed all of them.
Boy, was I wrong.
Surprisingly, we only lost by 14 points in the first game and 10 points in the second game. And the second game, we went on a 13-0 run towards the end of the fourth quarter and almost came back and won it. But what seems to be happening is every time we go on a run, Cleveland will always have an answer for it. And the thing is, we shouldn't even be down in the first place. The only reason we're down is because they got 2 7-footers down low that are grabbing rebounds. And we have Wendell Carter Jr., who is frankly the softest player I've ever seen play basketball, and he shouldn't even be getting minutes. He's not a three-point shooter yet. In the second game, he decided to take six threes, one of them towards the end, which ruined our momentum, because guess what, it didn't go in. He was one of six from three. Why are we having him shoot threes? Why is he just pulling up? It is beyond me, the state of the Orlando Magic right now heading into game three at home, because we haven't even scored over 90 points this year in a playoff game.
Wow.
It is, I knew our offense wasn't up to par with a lot of other teams. But, you know, I was hoping it was our defense that would really take us over the hump. But the issue is, Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't know how to play defense. He just gets bullied in the paint and doesn't do anything. So they are feasting down low. It's not even Donovan Mitchell that we have to worry about. It's Jared Allen. It's Evan Mobley. And then because we have to worry about them down low, we can't push out on Donovan Mitchell. So he has all the space in the world. And then not to mention Georges Niang and Max Strus and Isaac Okoro and Darius Garland. It's impossible for us to defend them at a high level, yet somehow we've kept them under 100 points in both of the games. So I have hope that in these next two games at home, we'll win both and it'll be an even series heading into game five, and maybe we have enough momentum and have calmed down a little bit from our playoff jitters and can steal game five in Cleveland. But it is not looking great for us right now, and it is so frustrating because the wrong players are getting minutes. Play Jet Howard. He can shoot the three. Play Anthony Black. He can defend better than Markelle Fultz. He can move better than Markelle Fultz. He can shoot just as well as Markelle Fultz, because guess what? Markelle Fultz, he hasn't made a single shot in the playoffs. Cole Anthony also hasn't made a single shot through the first two games. Gary Harris was 0 of 10 in the first game. I didn't even want to see him touch the court in the second game, but luckily he came back.
So would you say that the offense is the biggest problem so far?
So far, our biggest issues is shot selection, because we could probably do a little bit better if we just took the ball inside, took our time on offense, but we're rushing down there, and the second we get, you know, 1 foot of space in front of us, we're shooting a three that we can't make even if we were wide open.
Yeah.
Something
has to change
that. And then the second biggest thing is rebounding. We're just getting, we look like babies out there. It looks like, this is what it would look like if you took a college team and had them try and rebound over NBA players. That's how bad it looks for us, because we just are so, we don't even box out. You know, we're lucky to get 10 rebounds a game. Jared Allen had 18 rebounds in the first game and then 20 rebounds in the second game. He was only averaging 10 on the season. All of a sudden, he's become prime Andre Drummond.
That says a lot about the offense. People.
Yeah. Watching this team has made me go almost psychotic. It is truly disappointing, because even in the second game, Franz, who, you know, is our second best player and was our second best player in the first game, he shot horribly in the second game. Mo Wagner, for the first half of the second game, was playing like he just learned how to walk. Like, he looked like he had never been in a basketball game. He was just given all the physical attributes and he was told to go out there and look like he knew what he was doing. Luckily, he turned around in the second half, and that's sort of what led to our 13-0 run towards the end of the game that almost, you know, brought us back into it. But man, this team They need to go out in free agency. They need to get a shooter so that we can get more space for our other guys, because no one's worried about our three-point shooting, so they pack the middle, and then we can't do what we're good at. We need to get people that can rebound. So for the shooter, I want Klay Thompson. He's on an expiring contract. He's already been rumored to go to us. We can offer him 15, 20 mil and our six-man position, and he can come off the bench, and he can hit threes at a nice clip, because right now his efficiency is horrible on the Warriors because he's playing too big of a role for what he can do at his age and with his athletic ability after the two injuries, the ACL and the Achilles. And then we need to go out. We need to get someone like Nicholas Claxton who can get down low and really bang it up with, you know, guys even taller than him. For game three, we need to play Goga Bitadze. He hasn't touched the floor the first two games, and he's our biggest center. He's probably the only person that can really put up a fight against Jared Allen. And right now, we're making all the wrong moves, and somehow we still have a chance to do something. So it's promising.
I still see a chance, yeah. The games are close, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The games are not, they're not absolute blowouts.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, yeah, I think it was just the result of those two games, or just the result of just bad decision making.
Yeah. And
yeah,
it's been frustrating to watch too as a fan. I'm screaming at the TV every 2 seconds about why why did we do this? Why did we do that? Ugh. And then we can move over to another series right now, probably the premier series in all of the playoffs. Suns Timberwolves. Getting to see Anthony Edwards in his first playoff action, going up against Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. Yeah, that big three, and the Timberwolves are killing them. That Suns team looks like an AAU team. They don't play like an NBA team. There's no cohesiveness in that offense. And, you know, they had a chance to steal game one, but thank God the Timberwolves made an immediate adjustment, because the start of the game one, the Timberwolves had Rudy Gobert guarding Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's very lanky, so they're like, let's put a tall guy on him. They put their least mobile tall guy on him, and by metrics, he has really bad perimeter defense. If you go in and you look at his defensive metrics, I think he has the best defense when it comes to like post up,
Inside,
and just like sort of inside the paint. But they had him one of the, you know, least mobile, not great perimeter defenders.
Against one of the greatest scorers in history.
The greatest offensive player of all time. And so to start the game, Kevin Durant went down and made four straight mid-range shots in the same spot over Rudy Gobert using the same move. So I was watching it and I was like, okay, they're going to get torched. Timberwolves immediately switched Karl Anthony Towns onto Kevin Durant, and I didn't see him make a single bucket for a couple of minutes. It was a little bit. They were forcing it to other players, and it was nice. Anthony Edwards destroyed Kevin Durant in that first matchup towards the end of the game. They had them playing one-on-one, and he was just taking off. So that series is super exciting. Anthony Edwards looks like Michael Jordan, just like the way he moves.
Yeah, he was impressive.
It's been really fun to watch all those players go head-to-head. That's really all the exciting stuff that's been happening in the playoffs that's interested me, I guess. I don't know if you have anything about the NBA playoffs that you wanted to talk about.
I mean, honorable mention, I guess we can bring up that shot by Murray.
Oh my God. Hitting that at home in front of your home bench to win the game. Oof. Step back two over Anthony Davis.
Nothing better.
No, it has to be the best feeling in the world, and probably the worst feeling in the world for Anthony Davis, knowing that he was on the tail end of two different game winners back-to-back years against the Nuggets. Last year it was Jokic with the step back three over him. This year it's game two in round one, step back midi from Jamal Murray.
Yeah, of course it's got to take a toll on AD. I mean, I don't know if you saw the press conference where they kind of asked him about it.
And he immediately walked out.
He was like, oh, what did you think? He's like, he made the shot and then he just left. Like, I mean, truly, how would you answer that question?
Yeah. What happened on that last play, AD?
That reporter, you know, not the smartest question.
He still made it. It happened.
But I think that's it for NBA. Right now, we're going to go back to a little bit of music, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the MLB and the Champions League.
Early 90s, old school. Feeling like my second album, so cool. Shadrack summer looking so cruel. Looked shorty in the eye, told me it was no rules. Went to speak, but was like, never mind. Let my mind just sneak back to a better time. When I was his age, and if he's ever mine, thinking he would only think back to this and never find better times to think back to when it comes. And he's older in the presence of somebody young, telling him the same things that he told me. And he reacts the same way as that OG. But it's old school, it's like 03. And it's old man, it's my old me. Takes a long time to happen so fast to realize that your future is somebody else's past.
As long as you love me, give me that old.
Analog black vinyl spinning, sounding so good. Top down, can't be a classic if it's no wood. If you don't know what, then your new school. Floor model is the foundation for your YouTubes. Model flows off of Fat Boys and Juice Crews. Melly Mel's iced teas and the two cools. Adam O.D. and the double L. Had to walk cause it's hard to run in those unbuckled shells. One microphone and a couple 12s. Six drum sounds and a couple bells. All you had to make a couple rails, and that's a track. And if you want it, you had to make it like that. Now what's one turtle to a couple snails? Takes a long time to happen so fast, and realize your future is somebody else's past.
Give me that old school love right now.
What's up?
I'm leaving it all up to you, darling. Giving you everything you want. And give me that old school love right now. You know when I hold you, you won't be alone. As long as I'm here.
She want it, I can tell she want it. Want me to push up on it, for she know where I'm all on it. We get the party going, liquor flowing, this is fire. 50 and Jeremiah, number one, there's nothing higher.
Won't you come?
Get it,
I see
it,
you, baby.
Work it, break it, break
won't
it,
you just
down.
Put it down.
Won't you down?
Okay, she headed to the dance floor and she slowly started popping it. Something like my wrist piece, everybody got to watching it. Girl, you got that secret treasure, I'm gon' put a lock on it. Don't care what they say, I would be stupid to be not owning this Vicky. Heard you got that sticky. Let's go and take 9 shots, we'll just call it 50. And I'm gonna lick it, lick it, lick it till they hickey. Had that river running, keep you gunning till you empty.
Bang, 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 bang.
Oh, you look so sweet. What you working, Alice? Look at your physique. Girl, you are a beauty. Well, I am a beast. They must have been tripping to have left me off a leash.
I like the way you grind with that booty on me. Shorty, you a dime. Why you looking lonely? Go buy another round and it's all on me. As long as I'm around, put it down on me. Just put it down on me. Put it down on me. Down, down on me. Put
party jumping. Shorty, she's a perfect 10. She rock her hips and roll her hips and drop it down like it's nothing. She shit just like an hourglass. You see how fast an hour pass. Time flies when I'm on that, but I won't put out. Don't blame. Work it like a pro. Sit and watch it go. Do a thing out on the floor. She bounce it fast and shake it slow. So sexual, incredible. She beautiful, she edible. I got her, I won't let her go. I ain't seen nothing better, yo.
Look how she twerk it. The way she work it. Make me wanna hit it, heaven when I'm in it. If I do not fit, I'm gonna make it. Girl, you can take it. Don't stop, get it, get it.
And we are back here to talk some Champions League and MLB. Kevin, what do you want to start with?
We'll start with baseball going on. We'll start with the American League East, the AL East. Well, we'll start with the Rays. We were at second place just last week. We are now down to last place.
Oh.
Yeah.
That
it don't look so good, huh? not sure what happened. You know, the AL East is, you know, very close. All, you know, every single team on the AL East is stacked. So, of course, you're going to see a lot of teams with a lot of wins who are just, you know, not in the right positions in the standings.
Yeah.
Well, right now we have the least. We have 12. The Red Sox are on top of us with 13 and Blue Jays 13. So we're right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff can change quick.
Oh, yeah.
But there's absolutely no reason why we cannot be competing with the Yankees and the Orioles, who are on the first and second place spot with 16 wins. I mean, I feel like we can, but...
Do you think pitching is the issue? Because we had talked about that in a previous show,
yeah.
You know, with... What do you think the biggest issue with the Rays right now
is? So the starting pitching, which I was mostly concerned of, hasn't been the problem. The starting pitching has been really good. A lot of the pitchers have been coming out and giving quality starts.
That's,
you know,
good.
Giving us six innings, allowing less than three runs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's perfect, you know. Bullpen-wise, that is something that we were worried about and is something that is disastrous right now, and we see it every day, day in, day out, just how scary it is to put in a pitcher from the bench. It really is, like how I said last time we talked, I'm like, where did you find these guys?
Yeah.
And when you look at them, and the more I look at them every day, I'm just like, where did y'all find these guys? I'm so 100% sure that we can pick up a pitcher from HCC, actually, and he'll do better.
Is it that bad?
I honestly believe so. But the bullpen has blown a lot of games for us, for sure. But I cannot put every single part of the blame to the bullpen, simply because our offense has been very mid, in and out. A lot of these games, we're not giving them a lot of runs to work with, you know. So when the pitcher comes out, you know, we have a one or two run lead.
Yeah.
Instead
of going into it with like some momentum, you know,
yeah,
you're having to rely on that backup pitcher to sort of hold it down until you can try again, instead
That's
of
right. yep.
being able to just like go out there with like a little bit of leeway, less anxiety as a, you know, a backup pitcher. Cause you feel like, oh, there's some weight on me now. Yeah. I gotta make sure.
It makes it worse. It's a lot more pressure. And,
yeah.
You know, these guys are not going to be able to perform. Fans are going to be even more riled up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the fans need to realize at the same time that our offense have been very, very mid. Our two best players right now, you know, Yandy Diaz and Randy Rosarena. You know, last season, you know, they were the best players, you know. Yandy won a Silver Slugger, was the best hitter in the league. You know, but now for these two guys, we're starting off very, very slow. I don't see it being a problem. I still feel that they'll adjust and, you know, they'll come back because, you know, they're elite players. They're really good. But I think that does, you know, play a part in our bullpen being so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It does, but at the same time, we could have a much better bullpen, better options to go to.
Yeah. Hey, maybe early season trade happens, you guys get one more guy that's just good enough off the bench.
Yeah, that is true, but the Rays are not, they're not known to be making trades in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Or adding to the roster in the middle of the season.
They just kind of ride it out.
Which
until...
I think was a big, big mistake last season when they know that this is the best season we're ever going to have. You know, we started off 13-0.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, last season.
Yeah.
You know, I think there mid-season, that's where you got to find what works. I think if it was going to be a chance to win the championship with that championship team, you know, then you got to make the moves. You got to make the moves that you see that's not working out to like clear it out now. They could have added some more stuff to the bullpen. They could have added another pitcher maybe because we did lose some arms. And now we've lost a lot of arms and we're
struggling.
Yeah, and we're seeing the consequences of that. But yeah, it's still early in the season. Rays can easily turn it around because they've done it before, you know, against all odds.
Mm-hmm.
They always do it, and they somehow end up top of the division against all these elite teams. So, but, you know, it's very difficult now because I've never seen them as bad as we have now.
I mean, yeah.
over the last couple of years, like, yeah, they had their rush stretches, but they come back. This one, it's just,
You don't have that feeling of that you guys are going to, you know, figure it out this time.
Yeah, I don't.
Sometimes.
Even if Randy and Yandy, you know, they wake up, you know, and they start, you know, and they start getting adjusted again and they start, you know, being the elite hitters that they are, they usually are, it still will be a problem. I feel like, I still feel that we're not going to generate enough runs, but just those two guys, we're going to need another elite hitter. And the bullpen is not going to be able to hold a one run or two run lead. They just can't. They don't do it ever.
So, yeah. I mean, I get that feeling of like, you know, you do something enough times, like you're able to turn around enough times. At some point, you're not going to be able to turn it around after a start like this. Or like, at, you know.
Yeah. It's just. Yeah, I just have that feeling. It's still very, very early, so
yeah,
there's always...
Still over 100 games to play.
There's still definitely a chance. It's just, I don't see a lot of hope for this season, man.
Yeah.
I really don't. But that being said, we can move on to...
Champions League.
And Champions League has been very exciting. I think everybody... came in this year thinking the Champions League was going to be a little
boring.
Yeah, whatever. But the past few games, the quarterfinals have been, you know, just incredible.
I think what it is with the Champions League in the past, there have only been like five teams that really compete and maybe one like odd outlier like every other year where like, why are they making it this far? But yeah. You know, with Barcelona when they had Neymar, Messi, Suarez, and then Real Madrid had Bale, Ronaldo, Cruz, Modric, and then Juventus had like Pogba and all them, and just like there were these couple of insane teams, and now it feels like those players have faded out and we're kind of in a middle area, so everyone's kind of like in the same sort of spot where they're good enough to make it to the Champions League. But no one is too much better than anyone else to really make it feel less competitive.
Yeah, I'd say like it's very balanced now. You know, there's not like really superstars. You have players like Jude Bellingham, Vinicius Jr.
But they're still just at the beginning of their careers. They haven't turned into that surefire, like, oh, this guy's going to win you a match.
Everybody knows they're elite players. You know, they're amazing players. They're awesome. But you're not going to look at them in the same light as, you know, a prime younger Modric, a prime younger,
you
know, Messi, De Bruyne.
Rooney, even.
Right.
Like, these guys aren't going to go out there and, you know, be that guy every minute of the game.
So talking about the quarterfinals, the first two legs of the quarterfinals were amazing games. We had Dortmund versus Atletico Madrid, and Dortmund pulled through. You know, and that was, you know, the least exciting stuff about it. I mean, and those games were amazing. Everybody thought Atletico would go through. They didn't. Dortmund goes through once again. But the fun one, I would say, was Barcelona versus PSG.
Mm-hmm. That's always a fun game.
Yeah. Especially just PSG, because PSG is just known for never doing good in Champions League. They'll get far, but they'll never do anything.
They always
with
chill.
The opportunity. So, you know, first game, Barcelona wins that game, goes up top. And, you know, everyone's excited, especially because Ousmane Dembele, a former Barca player, you know, is on PSG now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is messed up. I mean, considering what Barcelona has done for Dembele, everything that they've done, you know, that man has been getting injured, you know, so many throughout the year he's been injured, and Barcelona has put their faith in him no matter what. They waited for him. They made sure his recovery was good. You know, the fans were behind him and everything. And he started doing good. And the moment that PSG came with a contract, he just took it like that. So I'd be kind of mad if I was a Barca fan.
But I think also sometimes when there's players that are just like constantly getting injured once they move to a new club, there's sort of like a mental aspect to it where it's like they feel every minute they could get injured again when they're at that club. But like new scenery can change like all of it. And then, you know, maybe he does stay healthy at Barcelona when he stays, and his performances start dropping because he's playing scared. But, you know, he moves to a new place. It's fresh. It's new. There's like a different feeling to it. And like, I guess like the mental aspect of the game, he maybe plays a bit more free. And so maybe it's obviously partially going to be about money, because we know Barcelona's financial struggles.
Right.
Maybe that part of it is that, but we've heard, you know, there's issue with leadership and, you know, the higher ups at Barcelona. You know, I don't think it's necessarily about the fans or the club itself, but maybe the people in charge of the club. You know, he just wanted to get out.
I guess, yeah, but, you know, he's been there almost, you know, since the start of his career almost.
Yeah. So he was there when Messi was still there, and that's been...
Yeah, he played with the man himself.
Yeah.
I guess, like, the bigger outrage, though, is, you know, not his decision or whether...
It's that it was so easy for him to make.
Yeah, the big outrage was basically just for the fans, just knowing that the support they gave him, even with all the injuries and all the time
he didn't play... It feels like it meant nothing.
Or the times that he didn't play good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And when he recovered and he started playing again, he was starting to do very good. You know, he took that move so easily. And so in that second game, Barcelona lost. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. But the thing was, Dembele scored a goal and had no problem celebrating in front of the fans of Barcelona. Man, I could just imagine, you know, just the atmosphere.
Oh, electric. Especially for the Champions League, for that to happen.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's probably nothing better in terms of like a football game when there's like this sort of like rivalry feeling. Yeah. There's, you know, a storyline to follow. That I think that's what makes it such a beautiful game.
Another thing was PSG's never has any luck against Barcelona.
Yeah.
And they did it. Like, they did it. It was controversial because Barcelona got a red card early into the game, which they didn't believe was a red card. But that was a game changer. If that didn't happen, the score wouldn't have finished 4-1.
Yeah.
As it did. But,
Was this the first time PSG and Barcelona have faced each other since Messi was on Barcelona and they came back from, like, 5-0 down?
Right.
To win 6-5 on aggregate.
Yep.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a big story for PSG. The PSG fans really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah.
Bayern versus Arsenal. I knew the outcome. I knew it was going to happen. Bayern lost their first game against Arsenal. Okay, whatever, whatever. And I stood on business when I said it. Arsenal are bottlers. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't make it far in anything. They just don't. They're not good at playoff knockout type tournaments. They're just not.
They're not built for it. They're built for a marathon.
Right.
The length of the Premier League. They're built for 39 or 38 games.
Right. And like I said, Bayern 1-0. Arsenal did nothing. They basically were just running around for 90 minutes like a marathon. They were just running back and forth for 90 minutes and nothing happened. So, yeah, that was...
Did Harry Kane score the goal?
I believe so. Actually, no.
No.
It was Joshua Kimmich, the midfielder.
That would have been poetry if Harry Kane had scored that. You know, going from the bitter rivals of Arsenal being at Tottenham and then switching to Bayern Munich, and then he faces them in the Champions League and scores on them.
Honestly, I hope Bayern wins this whole thing.
Just yeah.
For Harry Kane to win something, bro, because that's...
Bayern Munich
terrifying,
is
terrifying, dude.
Bayern Munich's one of those like powerhouse teams that I've never really had like a hatred for or like an annoyance towards like their I don't know, their ability to win so much, because they always had likable players. Toni Kroos, Ian Robin,
yeah, they definitely still do.
Lewandowski, Neuer, Jerome Boateng, all these players so fun to watch, especially Robin. Just his left foot was, I think, the best in history.
I think that Bayern has a specific standards when it comes to the players they sign. You know, they don't want a flashy guy who's la-la-la and cocky and doing all this stuff for the cameras. They sign
proper
powerhouse players.
Proper players.
They're fun to watch.
I'm really hoping the final this year is exciting and maybe something that we haven't seen before with some teams that, you know, get there for the first time.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to wrap up our show today. It was nice chatting with you guys once again. But we may see you next week. So, yeah.
Day and night, I toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind. I look for peace, but see I don't attain. What I need for keeps this silly game we play. Now look at this, madness the magnet keeps attracting me. I try to run, but see, I'm not that fast. I think I'm first, but surely finish last. Cause day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night. Day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. Some things will never change. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night. He sees the life he made.
made. The pain is deep. A silent sleeper, you won't hear a peep, peep. The girl he wants don't see no one in two. It seems the feelings that she had her through. The free is mine at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems the free is mine at night. At night, day and night. The lonely loner seems the free is mine at night. He's all alone, some things will never change. The lonely loner seems the free is mine at night. At night.
Thank you. Unlike those other men. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to...
Welcome in, guys.
Welcome, welcome to the Dark Room. You put our names on there, right? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Welcome, everybody, to the show. It's been a very long week. I'm going to make a post about it to my Instagram about getting people to join. Let's see if I can get the link up. Share link.
Well, he does that. So today, Sage is going to be talking to us a little bit about Uzumaki, I believe. I don't know a whole lot about the topic, so I will be doing a lot of listening and learning myself. I will chime in a little bit just to maybe ask some questions myself, but he will be taking it away for the start of the show, however long it takes. He says he has a lot of information to cover with us.
Yes, I do. All right. Okay, should be up now. All right. So today we're talking about Uzumaki. Uzumaki was written in... Hold on, let me pull up all the notes I wrote about this.
So what is Uzumaki?
Uzumaki is a horror manga written by Junji Ito in 1998. So in 1998, he started writing Uzumaki, and it would subsequently be published every week in a Japanese comic called Big Spirits Weekly. And he didn't do it by chapter, because there's only 20 chapters in the book. He did it like by however much he would get done in a certain period of time, he would just send that out. So it took him about a